I remember sitting in medical nutrition therapy class learning about so many different conditions, but one of them stood out above most of the others. I was truly fascinated by this condition. I couldn't imagine never feeling full. To eat and eat and never reach satiety was something so mind-blowing to me, especially because I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I often don't get hungry, or I get full really quickly after I eat. So never feeling full is something I just couldn't or can't relate to. The condition responsible for this is Prader-Willi syndrome. People with Prader-Willi syndrome are often followed by genetics because it's a genetic condition. I'll get into that in a minute, but I'll never forget my first few experiences and encounters with patients who had Prader-Willi syndrome. Stay with me.
I'm Jana Nickel, and this is the RD Exam Made Easy podcast.
Well, hey there. In today's episode of the RD Exam Made Easy podcast, we're going to review a couple case studies. But first, I wanted to thank you so much for listening today. I'm so grateful for the feedback and topic ideas I've been getting from listeners just like you, because that's why I'm here. This podcast is to help you get across the finish line. And beyond that, I've heard from registered dietitians about how helpful the podcast is as a refresher on topics they haven't used in years. I want to thank you for being here with me, for tuning in, and sharing your wins and stories with me. Since we're on the topic of sharing wins, when you pass the RD exam, I'd love for you to send me an email and let me know you passed so I can give you a big shout out and a warm welcome into the RD community. Check out the show notes on how to share your big win with me. And if you have a question you want featured or a topic you want covered on the RD Exam Made Easy podcast, let me know. So let's get started by reviewing Prader-Willi syndrome, what it is, and how it impacts a person's life who's been born with this condition. I'll also go over a couple case studies and share how I approached and helped these patients when they came to me for nutrition help. First, let's go over what Prader-Willi syndrome is. It's a congenital disorder, which means it happens in utero during fetal development. In the early stages of development, chromosomes pair up, but sometimes things don't pair up as they should, and a fetus can end up with chromosomal abnormalities. Prader-Willi occurs due to an abnormality in chromosome 15. There are a couple reasons it can occur, but the most common reason is due to a deletion in chromosome 15. People with Prader-Willi syndrome never feel full or reach satiety. The condition affects the hypothalamus, which is where hormones that control growth and appetite are produced. So that means people with this condition struggle with appetite regulation and growth. Those are two of the main characteristics of this genetic condition. The characteristics of Prader-Willi syndrome change throughout the life cycle. During infancy, the three big red flags or indicators that there should be further workup are hypotonia, which is when the baby is described as being floppy or lacking tone, failure to thrive, and difficulty feeding because the patient has low tone. Hypotonia can happen for other reasons too, but anytime a baby is diagnosed with hypotonia, further workup is necessary to determine the cause. None of these symptoms are very specific, but once the genetic tests are ran, Prader-Willi syndrome will show up on the results. As the child grows, the characteristics change. The child will start eating everything, appearing to never feel full or satisfied. The medical term for eating excessive amounts of food is hyperphagia. This excessive intake then leads to obesity, especially since there are also other issues with growth. And poor tone causes decreased energy expenditure and nutrient needs. It's harder for these kids to play and exercise like other kids because they get tired more easily because they don't have the muscle strength or lean body mass to play as hard as the other kids. Physical therapy is something that can help. The complications that arise from obesity, such as type 2 diabetes and respiratory issues that affect anybody who has obesity, also affect patients with Prader-Willi syndrome. They aren't immune to the additional complications and comorbidities that come with obesity. Another characteristic of Prader-Willi syndrome is learning disabilities. So oftentimes, patients with Prader-Willi syndrome will be connected for resources and additional help in school. They also have hypogonadism, which can cause delayed puberty. Most people with Prader-Willi syndrome are infertile. They are also at increased risk of osteoporosis. I previously mentioned short stature as one of the characteristics of Prader-Willi syndrome. Thankfully, because science is amazing, early intervention can include giving growth hormone, which can help with promoting growth in these patients. Some other characteristics these patients have are behavior difficulties, anxiety, frustration, low mood, shouting, and screaming. I was listening to a girl who was born with Prader-Willi syndrome, and she did a great job explaining these behaviors. She said it feels like a tug-of-war inside her, where her Prader-Willi is pulling her to act out and get frustrated, even though she knows she shouldn't. I thought it was such a beautiful way of explaining it. She knows it's a part of her, but not all of her, and she has the awareness of what's happening, even if she can't fully control it. I've had several patients throughout my career with Prader-Willi syndrome. Two patients stand out the most to me. Both had Prader-Willi syndrome, but they had very different management of their condition. The first patient, let's call her Samantha, was born to a mom with low education level. The mom was illiterate and had very limited understanding of her child's condition. Samantha was 5 years old the first time I saw her. The mom had been educated many times before me by doctors and dietitians, but she continued to have poor understanding of how to manage her child's Prader-Willi syndrome. When I saw her the first time, the mom told me Samantha never stops eating, she goes through all the cupboards in the day and at night when everyone in the house is sleeping. She hides food and has also been found eating food out of the trash when there's no other food for her to eat. The mom told me the only way she can stop Samantha from going through the trash is to take it out before she goes to bed. Right away, I thought this is a food safety concern. She was at risk of getting food poisoning by going through the trash and finding food that was not only dirty, but also sitting in the temperature danger zone. She had no control of her eating, and the mom wasn't sure how to implement any behavior modification to help Samantha's excessive intake. After speaking with the mom and gathering a history of how she's been eating at home, I spoke with the mom about some strategies she could do to help her daughter. A couple of those strategies included having set meal times and working with Samantha so she understands when she can have meals. Otherwise, she'd continue to eat all day like she was doing already. She was already obese for her age, so the goal was to prevent further weight gain. I also recommended locking up the refrigerator, freezer, and cupboards. Since Samantha was already obese, the mom asked me about foods that she can eat. Remember how I mentioned the mom was illiterate? Well, that added another layer and was a little challenging since my artistic abilities are not the best. I tried my hardest and had to draw things out for her so she had something to reference at home that she could understand, especially in her frustrating moments. There were other handouts I gave her, but anything that had any writing on it, I had to make sure that she could just simply look at the pictures as a guide instead of having to read the words to make sense of what the information was sharing. I saw Samantha numerous times, but unfortunately, the mom was not successful in implementing any of the strategies we discussed. I asked her about the barriers she was experiencing, but she couldn't identify anything that was getting in the way of any of the recommendations. She wasn't able to make those changes. So I answered her questions and really focused on letting her know she had support and could reach out if she had any questions. I also made it a point to really emphasize vegetables, since those are low in calories. Since it was hard for her to control Samantha's eating, I tried to give some simple suggestions on what she can do to at least decrease the number of calories Samantha was getting from eating all the time. Mom's level of understanding and lack of ability to implement strategies made this a very challenging case. In the end, the recommendation was to follow a low-calorie diet, eat at set mealtimes, eat vegetables between meals, drink water instead of higher-calorie beverages, take a calcium and vitamin D supplement, to play and be a kid and participate in fun exercise activities such as running around at the park or riding her bike with her friends, and for the mom to lock the refrigerator, freezer, and cupboards. So that was little Miss Samantha. Now moving on to a completely different case. I'll call this patient Julius. Julius was a teenager around 15 years old when I saw him for the first time, and he also had Prader-Willi syndrome. His mom was very proactive. Right from birth, when she was told that her son had Prader-Willi syndrome, she got him support and resources that he needed. She implemented set meal times and helped him understand the importance of eating during those meal times. If he needed a snack, she'd give vegetables or other lower calorie, high nutrient foods. He had good growth because he had started on growth hormones, and his weight and BMI were actually both within normal limits. He was plotting around the 70th percentile on the pediatric growth chart. Julius was getting assistance in school to help with his learning disability, and he also had a pretty good social situation and had some good friends. He said he feels hungry, but he knows how to control his eating, and I really didn't need to do any nutrition intervention other than to continue to encourage the great work they were doing and let the patient and mom know that they could contact me anytime if they had any questions. So as you can see, those are two people with the same condition, but very different nutrition recommendations, nutrition intervention, and management at home. So let's review the nutrition recommendations for people with Prader-Willi syndrome. Research has shown that a calorie intake of around 8 to 11 calories per centimeter can help maintain body weight and prevent weight gain. In adults, most people should not exceed 1,200 to 1,400 calories per day with Prader-Willi syndrome. Consuming an adequate amount of calcium and vitamin D can help prevent osteoporosis. And keep in mind that these patients may also need a calcium and vitamin D supplement. Eating a well-balanced diet that's low in processed foods or sugary foods helps keep the calorie intake low. Regular physical activity, including weight-bearing activity, not only helps with decreased muscle tone, it's also helpful for weight management. Encouraging water to drink instead of high-calorie beverages like juice and pop helps keep the calorie intake low. Providing education on appropriate portion sizes is critical since they can't self-regulate. You can teach patients what appropriate portion sizes look like. I really like using simple strategies such as using the palm of the hand, the thumb, and the fist to recognize the right portion size, since it can be used anywhere. Also, teaching portion sizes with food models are great for visual learners as well as patients who are illiterate, like in the case with Samantha. And lastly, locking up the food in the pantry, refrigerator, and freezer and making sure the trash is removed is a good intervention to prevent excessive intake. I have so much compassion for people with Prader-Willi syndrome. It must be so uncomfortable to always feel hungry and have a need to constantly eat. Studies have shown that people with Prader-Willi syndrome have elevated ghrelin levels. What's ghrelin again? Well, it's a hormone produced in the stomach. It rises with fasting and is suppressed by food intake. This could be one of the reasons they eat so much. So let's do a quick review of Prader-Willi syndrome. In infancy, people with Prader-Willi syndrome present with hypotonia or low tone, failure to thrive due to feeding difficulties because they have low tone, so it's difficult for them to eat. During infancy, they may need a special nipple to help with feeding, or they may even need gavage feedings. The difficulty with feedings, though, are temporary. In childhood, around the age of 2, the child begins to show inability to stop eating. They eat excessively, also called hyperphagia, and experience excessive hunger. They have hypogonadism, which causes delayed or incomplete puberty. And remember, most people with Prader-Willi syndrome are infertile. They also have short stature due to low levels of human growth hormone, which can be treated with growth hormones. So that's a review of Prader-Willi syndrome, but I also wanted to remind you to look at the big picture and think about the mechanism behind this condition. I want you to try to connect the dots and truly understand the process, because it can help you think critically when other conditions or scenarios present themselves. So what do I mean by that? Well, low tone in patients with Prader-Willi syndrome can also happen in other conditions. Having low tone also means having less lean body mass. We know that muscle burns more than fat. This is true for anyone. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn. So with people who have Prader-Willi syndrome, they don't burn as many calories because the condition causes low tone, which decreases energy expenditure and means that they need less calories in the day. The low tone can also interfere with their ability to exercise as much as other people. When estimating nutrient needs, you need to keep this in mind. Instead of just memorizing that these patients have decreased needs, make sure you understand the condition, the characteristics of it, and the way you'd address the nutritional concerns. Lastly, I wanted to mention that there is a separate food guide pyramid for Prader-Willi syndrome, which recommends approximately 800 to 1200 calories a day. The largest food group at the bottom of the pyramid is vegetables, which, as we know, are low in calories. The next level on the pyramid has two food groups, the fruits and grains. Then, on top of that is the milk and meats, which recommend fewer servings. And then lastly, the top of the pyramid is where the fats and sweets are and should be eaten sparingly. Vegetables are at the base of the pyramid and recommended as the primary food group because they're low in calories, especially the non-starchy vegetables. In one serving, there's 5 grams of carbs and 25 calories. This is easy to estimate when using the exchange list to calculate. So for someone who needs less calories, eating more low-calorie foods when feeling constantly hungry can help with weight management in people with Prader-Willi syndrome. I shared a lot about Prader-Willi syndrome, including a lot of the characteristics that we as dietitians don't intervene on. But I think it's important to understand the syndrome as a whole. One thing's for sure, patients who have Prader-Willi syndrome do best when they receive early intervention and regular follow-ups by the interdisciplinary team. And that includes the dietitian, who actually has a big role in guiding the patient and the family on how to manage the calorie intake, eating behavior, and weight. And remember, it's so important to treat these individuals as that. Individuals. These are guidelines that are put out there for helping patients who have Prader-Willi syndrome. But every case is different, like I shared with you in this episode. So make sure that you look at the patient as an individual. What is it that you can really help them with? What guidance do they need? If you approach them as an individual, you're on the right track. Stay on top of your study game. There's no limits to achieving the success you so deeply desire. Until next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Share this episode on Instagram at JanaNicoleRD and help spread the word to other RDs to be. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time on the RD Exam Made Easy podcast.